Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are back here on April 6, 2021, Tuesday, with The Punch Out here from Breakthrough News. We're going to be talking about the toxic legacy of mining all over the United States. We're going to be talking about the United Nations condemning the death penalty here in the United States as well. But before we get to either of those two important stories, we're going to start with the ongoing carnage from the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, the global death toll from COVID-19 has crossed the 3 million person threshold this week. Cases rising again around the world, Brazil, India, the United States, France, the Philippines, Venezuela, Chile, all seeing cases go up, with the main culprit being the rise of different variants of COVID-19 that are more contagious. For instance, in Brazil and India, the so-called UK and South African strains are being blamed for the rapid uptick. Although notably, both of those countries also have totally inadequate to non-existent COVID protocols, at least at the level of their national governments. It's the state governments that are doing just about anything worth doing in Brazil or India. Nonetheless, the variant factor is very real. Michigan, that's the U.S. state with the fastest increase in cases, also being hit hard by the U.K. strain. There are regionally specific variants all across the U.S. now that appear to be playing a similar role of increasing the number of cases. This should, of course, turn our attention back to vaccines. Very clear connection here between the scale and speed of vaccination and the development of more variants of COVID. The longer there are large numbers of unvaccinated people, the more time the virus has to mutate and change, which becomes a problem because those mutations grow more and more resistant, or at least can, to the existing vaccines. Which means if you wait too long, all the vaccines could become irrelevant and we could be back to square one as it concerns the pandemic. So it's obviously in everyone's interest to increase the number of people being vaccinated around the world as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, the United States and Europe primarily have not only hoarded most of the existing vaccines, but they are doing the most to block efforts to increase the production of vaccines in general. It's a situation many have begun to dub vaccine apartheid. 53% of vaccines have gone to rich countries with only 14% of the world's population. Canada has enough doses to vaccinate its entire country five times over. The United Kingdom has enough doses to vaccinate their population three times over. What's the result of this hoarding? Well, in South Africa, they've been forced to pay two times the price of the European Union for access to this AstraZeneca vaccine. It's estimated that sub-Saharan African countries may not be able to vaccinate more than 27% of their population this year. In Asia, that number is 15%. COVAX, the WHO mechanism designed to help poor countries, is already tens of millions of doses behind schedule, underfunded, and by its own admission is facing shortages in its attempts to procure vaccines, either because of A, the price due to hoarding, or B, the hoarding itself, which has heavily reduced the supply. So you have an issue of a supply shortage. You've got a limited supply and the rich countries have it locked up tight. Easiest way to break the bottleneck? Increase the supply. But you can't just do that, because the drugs are produced under patent. So only the companies that have the patents can ramp them up their own production or grant a license to someone else to produce the drug. But obviously they can only ramp up their own production but so much, and they're only going to grant but so many licenses because they don't want other people making profits off of something they developed. For the past several months then, India and South Africa have been leading a coalition of 100 countries at the World Trade Organization. They're trying to get the WTO to enact a trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, or TRIPS, waiver for vaccine patents. And this would allow a short-term, narrow emergency waiver, allowing essentially anyone to make any of the vaccines. However, not in an unlimited amount, just to meet the need vis-a-vis the pandemic. And then after a certain period of time, the waiver would lapse, again protecting the original patent under WTO rules. Sounds reasonable, right? Well, the US, UK, and EU with the backing of big pharma companies, have so far blocked the waiver at the WTO. They've made all sorts of arguments about why it isn't necessary, despite the obvious global shortage of vaccines and the public health consequences of slow vaccination. In reality, Big Pharma, which is behind this, really fears that their long-term profit margin is going to be eroded when it becomes clear how cheaply the drugs can be produced generically around the world, making it harder for them to jack up the prices of the drug as time goes on. Pressure, however, is growing. The Biden administration says they are, quote unquote, studying the idea. Another way of showing it is that Big Pharma is buying up more lobbyists in Washington, D.C. So lets you know that the studying it means that there is pressure on the Biden administration. Clearly, the public health consequences of not doing this, doing more, I should say, to vaccinate as many people as quickly as possible could be catastrophic, could wipe out all the vaccination progress so far. So for the elites who run the government in the U.S., the EU, and the U.K., it's profits or people's lives, plain and simple. The Office of the UN Commissioner on Human Rights has rebuked the United States, calling on the U.S. to end the use of the death penalty. The UN statement noted that, quote, despite retentionist states' pretense that capital punishment can be implemented in a humane fashion, executions have repeatedly resulted in degrading spectacles. The death penalty is an inherently flawed form of punishment, which disproportionately impacts African Americans and people living in poverty, end quote. They go on to detail further that, quote, the death penalty also continues to be imposed following violations of due process guarantees, such as lack of access to an effective legal defense and an ignorance of essential facts. And they add to close that, quote, there is no time to lose. With thousands of individuals on state death rows across the country and several executions scheduled at the state level in 2021, end quote. Now, they're, of course, right on the specifics here. Death penalty states, that states that have the death penalty, have 30% more murders than states that do not have the death penalty. You have the death penalty, you got 30% more murders. Clearly, not much of a deterrent. Now, death sentences, as many people know, are disproportionately handed out to Black people especially, but certainly to all non-white people. That being said, it's very notable that you're also more likely to get the death penalty for killing someone white than killing someone who's non-white. For example, in Louisiana, the odds of a death sentence were 97% higher for those whose victim was white than those whose victim was Black. A study in California found that those convicted of killing whites were more than three times as likely to be sentenced to death as those convicted of killing Blacks, and more than four times more likely as those convicted of killing Latinos. A comprehensive study of the death penalty in North Carolina found that the odds of receiving a death sentence rose by 3.5 times among those defendants whose victims were white. That's pretty much as clear a statement as you could have about whose lives are valued the most by the U.S. criminal legal system. On top of all that, the Death Penalty Information Center has reviewed all 183 death row cases where the person in question was declared innocent since 1972. They found that 69.2% have included official misconduct by the police, prosecutors, or other government officials. Midazolam is one of the most frequent drugs used these days in lethal injection. Its use is widely referred to, though, as the, quote, chemical equivalent of burning at the stake. Chemical equivalent of burning at the stake. In fact, it's so bad that some death row prisoners in Alabama have actually tried to sue for the right to be asphyxiated instead, for the right to be choked to death instead. They viewed that as more humane than being injected with this midazolam. Clearly, the death penalty in the United States is a human rights disaster, which is certainly something to consider as the U.S. preaches human rights to everyone around the world. Well, the dangers of toxic waste from closed mines on full display recently as the Piney Point Reservoir in Florida has been at risk of a massive collapse, flooding the surrounding area with 800 million gallons of hazardous waste potentially. It's the leftovers, by the way, from a closed phosphate mine that are held in these giant ponds that have big stacks of hazardous toxic materials left over from mining byproducts. Now, the state is rushing to prevent the collapse by pumping tens of gallons of slightly less toxic water out of the toxic ponds into the Tampa Bay, which many are saying could ignite algae blooms that hurt and kill marine life. And that, in fact, several years ago, a big outbreak of algae blooms crippled the entire Gulf Coast economy. So out of the frying pan and into the fire there with this Florida crisis. But what is really notable here is that it's really not that rare. In fact, the issue of abandoned mine waste is a huge issue, and it's becoming even bigger as more and more coal mines in particular close down under economic pressure. The coal industry is more or less collapsing economically. Just a huge environmental disaster, not waiting to happen, but in progress. Here's an example. You might remember Black Jewel, the coal company whose workers sat down on the train tracks in 2019 there in eastern Kentucky to demand their pay after the mine owner went bankrupt and tried to skip town without giving them their final paychecks. Well, those cases are just being resolved. The workers, by the way, just settled a case with them on the wage issue. There's many other issues to be resolved that are now coming through in the courts. And in one very important case, a judge has decided to let Black Jewel just walk away from 30 mining sites that it was responsible for paying to clean up. There are 170 others that they have to make a good faith effort, Black Jewel, to sell. They have to make a good faith effort to sell it. And then if they don't sell it, they can just walk away from them. Of the 187 Kentucky mining permits Black Jewel has been hoping to abandon, 150 had 587 outstanding environmental violations. At one point during the bankruptcy reorganization, the state of Kentucky said Black Jewel and its affiliates represented 30% of all outstanding fines or violations in the state on environmental issues. And the violations included pollution discharges into Kentucky waters, landslides, and overflowing ponds that pose an immediate risk to citizens. Last one sounds familiar, huh? The way Black Jewel can get away with this is, well, since the coal industry is in a total freefall and the bankruptcy proceedings, they aren't worth enough money to actually meet the needs to reclaim the land. The land is so poisoned, it will cost more than a lot of times in the companies are worse to clean up the extreme toxicity that they've left behind. And the courts will just let them walk away. So say, well, there's no way they can do it. Now, that being said, a lot of times they just don't spend any money to mitigate and then say, we don't have enough money. And the courts say, well, if you don't have all the money, you don't have to use any of the money, you can leave. Now, mine owners are supposed to buy bonds to cover the cost of cleanup when the mine is done, right? So it's something like an insurance policy, essentially, to make sure they'll be able to clean up the cost of the mine. But bankrupt companies always fight to shift the burden away from themselves onto these insurance companies, which are fighting to shift the burden back onto the mines. Then if they don't have enough money, it all falls on the state governments. And the state governments often have not reserved enough money for this. Many of them, mining states, have some money, but they didn't expect so many mines to collapse so quickly, so there's not enough money. So you can see how in the legal shuffle around liability, the lack of money that exists, that a lot of these just fall through the cracks or wrapped up in legal proceedings for years and years and years. And ultimately, it's the people who live in the surrounding areas that pay for it with these repeated breaches and potential breaches and evacuations and other forms of, slurry leaking into the groundwater, ponds overflowing, fires and things like that in some of these because they're very flammable. I mean, there's so many different issues that result. And again, the mining industry is in total freefall, total collapse of the about 300 coal mines that there are now. Most don't even run at full capacity. So this will become a bigger and bigger issue. And there is really no move for anyone to do anything to change the status quo. So that means that as the mining industry continues its economic collapse, there are just tens of thousands of acres and probably hundreds of thousands of people that are just left in a very difficult situation with these toxic waste holding facilities, and not to mention the total environmental scarring of the land in which they lived. Huge hazards, just like we see in Florida, but for hundreds of thousands of people all around the country from Kentucky to Wyoming. So ultimately, just another example of not only the ongoing challenges of climate change, but the legacy issues that the planet is being forced to deal with and that will cost billions of dollars and potentially many, many lives before it is mitigated. That's the punch out for today. We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York, East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.